And, of course, open lines now this hour here on Coast to Coast AM. By the way, just came back from Philadelphia. I had a great time at just a cool paranormal event. And I went to the Eastern State Penitentiary out there in Pennsylvania and saw Al Capone's cell. We're going to have that posted for you at coasttocoastam.com. In 1929, Al Capone was arrested. He was carrying a concealed 38 revolver, and they put him away for a year. His cell was there, and they had it made up exactly the way it would look. He had a little table and his bed and his cot. And I got to tell you, looking at that, you'd go crazy if you had to spend one day in those places. I mean, they were unbelievably depressing. Strange, strange thing. If you've ever not taken a tour through a jail, and I mean one of these old ones, do it, and you'll realize that crime surely doesn't pay. Anyway, we'll be back in a moment. We'll take your calls on Coast to Coast AM. Looking forward to tomorrow's Coast to Coast show for you, by the way, as we talk about afterlife investigations with two researchers, Robin Foy, Tim Coleman, and we've got a whole great week of programs for you here on Coast to Coast AM. Let's go to the phones. We've got open lines for this hour for you. As promised, we'll go to Decatur, Illinois. Mike's with us on Coast to Coast. Hey, Mike, thanks for calling.
Oh, great, George. I just about got tears in my eyes. I've been home trying to get a hold of you. The last year, a few years ago, I tried to get a hold of Alex Jones, and I got a hold of his telephone number, and I called him on a Sunday, and he got kind of mad. And of course, he didn't know who I was.
Right.
And I wanted to explain to him the reason I got fired. I've been an appointment at the University of Iowa for 38 years, and I knew that they were trying to get rid of the people on the job. Well, I'd had a good rapport with all the clinical people and all the staff deal. Well, I applied for a concealed weapon, or not concealed weapons, but a thing for a regular gun thing in 06.
Okay.
And at the sheriff's department. And to make a long story short, I waited for a long time. And, of course, they knew me down there. And they said that there was a problem about my purchasing, which you have to require to get every year. Now, I'd done this for 15, 20 years and never had no problem.
Okay.
Well, that year, they got a new sheriff, and I never knew who he was, but he was a Democrat. And I heard he hated other people with the gun deals. Well, anyhow, I kept wondering why I couldn't get my pistol permit, because I told him I wanted to go to a gun show. Well, a friend of mine was a BTF, not BTF, but a federal firearms guy. I gave him money, and I said, this is my 38th year at the University of Iowa, and I was thinking about buying a commemorative pistol, a P-38, for my 38 years. Well, I gave him the money that day, which was on a Thursday, and he said, there's no problem, and he said that he would go and have ordered. Well, I went to work after I finally got my permit, and I walked in the job, and I've been on the job for 38 years at the university. And, of course, the guy that took over, he was a new guy for about 3 years. He said, the supervisor told me, Mike, you go outside. The boss wants to meet you. Well, I went out to wait for the boss. Well, here come the university security, the sheriff's department, and the deal. And they took me in the office, and I said, what's this about? And they said that your permit that you have, would you hand it over to purchase a firearm? And I said, sure, no problem. I said, what's going on? He grabbed my keys, and she handed me a deal saying that there was something to do with a deal with threatening people on the job, or the deal. And I had to go home until I heard from the human resource and participate in this behavior risk management process. Well, I said, sure, there's no problem, and I went to the union about it. Well, anyhow, to make a long story short, they had a lot to say, and I had to go through this. I never could find out who is my alleged that I supposedly threatened.
So you're saying you didn't threaten anybody, right?
No. But this the thing that's worse about this is that this behavior modification deal that they went to, they sent me to two different psychiatrists. And according to this deal here that I had from an anger management deal, I wasn't supposed to go on any university property, which means that they said that during my appointments that I was supposed to go on the campus of the university at the psychiatric thing at the university hospital. And according to this letter I got saying that all this information that I wasn't allowed to contact anybody from anything on the campus or even allowed to go on campus till this thing was supposedly resolved. Well, I couldn't do that, but I went to one psychiatrist because I went to the union, and they said, well, fine, that's you go to the union or this one psychiatrist off campus.
Well, hold on, Mike. Hold on for a second. You're giving us way too much information. I want to get right to the bottom of this. What happened to you? Yeah. Did you get fired or what?
Yeah, I got fired because I couldn't, I supposedly couldn't, didn't complete this anger management deal. And the weird thing of it is I got terminated because I got a letter from the post office saying that I was supposed to pick up a letter at the registered mail at the
Why didn't you sue them?
I tried to, but they had some kind of a people in an organization following me and watching departments next door. Finally, my landlord, she got scared, and she told me that they were making complaints and they were trying to get me arrested for trying to get me to go off the Looney Tunes.
Mike, something doesn't sound right here.
Right. And, anyhow.
How old are you
I'm retired now.
Well, how old are you?
I'm 63.
You're 63. You're retired. So you got a little pension coming in from them?
Yeah, I got it from the university.
Well, you did?
Hi?
Well, that's good, isn't it?
Well, I'm going to run out in about three more years because I just got Social Security. But here's the clicker, George. But they said that I had to go to this other psychiatrist at the behavior, or otherwise I'd get fired. Now I got a letter from the post office telling me to go down. That there was a registered letter there for me, that I wasn't supposed to go there till 10:30, and until after 10:30, there was a registered letter. So I went down there. Well, here's what happened. When I went down to the post office to find out what the registered mail was, it said that I had an appointment at the psychiatrist here at July 10th at 8:30 was appointment at for recording.
All right, Mike, this is what I want you to do because you're rambling on here. You're giving me way too much information about this. You got your little pension coming in. I think you need to talk to a lawyer or go to Seth Farber's website, which is linked up at coasttocoastam.com, and get a hold of one of these agencies that he says he works with and see what they can do to help you out, okay? Obviously, you're still distressed about this, and you need to talk to a lawyer about it if you think you have grounds, and definitely talk to one of those groups, okay? Because, I mean, I don't want to put you off, but they could help you much more than I can. Let's go to Sabrina in Phoenix, Arizona. Hi, Sabrina. Go ahead.
Oh, George, it is a pleasure to finally get to talk to you. This is my very first time. I'm a newbie. You're such a kind and patient listener.
Well, sometimes too much.
I can see that. I have a question, and I apologize if I'm coming in with a subject that might have not been spoken tonight, but I was listening to someone talking about schizophrenia.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a subject that was on tonight? Because
yes, it was. It was on for a couple hours.
Okay. I came in a little late, and I apologize, but my father has paranoid schizophrenia, and unfortunately, I'm kind of caught in the middle because he's not able to take medication, and it's aimed strictly at my mother. It is not aimed, you know, it's not the grandiose and it's not the religious. It's, he thinks that she is having an affair with a neighbor who is married, for God's sake. It makes no sense. He thinks people are living.
He's delusional.
It is.
Well, that I check. You never know. Let me tell you a story about a family that for years their little kid kept saying, "Mommy, Mommy, I saw so-and-so last night." And they thought the kid was delusional, right? Come to find out there was some guy living in their attic and they never knew about it.
Well, we've had it checked about 20 times and the handyman, God bless, in this area won't even go to their house anymore.
Once should be enough.
He's had it sealed and resealed. But my question to you, and again, I know you're not a psychiatrist or psychologist, but from what I did miss on this show, what do you do when it's aimed at a loved one, you know, and especially when it's not true, and it's taking such a toll on my mom? It's been
you gotta analyze, why is he so schizophrenic about this? Why is he so delusional?
It started off as delusional disorder, and then it gradually grew into, paranoia and schizophrenia.
And it's probably worse now, right?
Right. And, it's not a subject that a lot of people like to talk about. It's taboo. And so their friends don't really know what's going on. It really seems to happen during the nighttime. He thinks he sees this person come into their bedroom at 3 a.m. and everything's locked and they have security. And he'll yell at my mom and tell her, why is she doing this to him? Why can't she just tell him the truth? And what is my mom supposed to say? And then he comes over to my house. I live separate from them. I'm on disability.
Well, and let me ask you, Sabrina, without being rude, are you sure this isn't happening?
I'm absolutely
100% sure.
George, it would be like you talking about, you're 185, 200%. Absolutely. My parents, other than this, have the best marriage. My mother doesn't leave the house. She's disabled.
Well, they can't have the best marriage, not if he thinks all this is going on.
Right. I mean, they do, but this is just, it's hard because my dad is separate from his illness, but yet his illness is him. It's very hard to separate.
See, when you hear stories like this, it's difficult not to say, put him on something. I mean, like some of these folks who've been on the show will say, stay away from all these drugs. But then when you hear cases like yours, what else would work? Maybe you have to do that. I don't know.
Well, and that's what I'm saying. It's so hard without, he seems to function fine during the daytime, although the voices and everything are still in his head. It's strictly aimed at her.
Have you been there with him at night when he says this? And he says the same thing. The guy sneaking into our room.
Oh, yes.
He said, and you say, Dad, said, where is he? Where is he?
Right. He said, did you hear that? Did you hear? Did you hear the? I hear footsteps. Did you hear anything? And honestly, no. Did you see that? Did you see somebody, scooting across the floor? Or did you see your mom doing?
Boy. Well, I got to tell you, Sabrina, again, like you said, I'm not the doctor, but he probably needs one. You're going to have to find someone you trust. Simple as that. Let's go to Velvet in Cleveland, Ohio. Hey, Velvet, welcome to the program.
Hi, George. I'm really happy to be a part of your show tonight. I'm a longtime listener.
Thank you.
To the show with Art Bell and now you. but I wanted to share with you. I hadn't had an opportunity. I tried to call a couple of times while you were on the subject of what I'm going to speak about.
Okay.
I was videotaping my property in Virginia, and sometimes during the night, I look out in the wooded areas, and the trees take on different shapes, like different entities. But this particular time was daytime, and I was walking with my three labs and videotaping going through the woods, going down to the draw. And I saw this apparition, and it was like just jumped out in front of me. And as I was looking at it, it had turned to a Native American Indian.
Okay.
It was a female. And next to her, it was a tribal head. And the tribal head took the shape of looking like me. And it startled me. But I asked her, I said, "Who are you?" And when I asked her that, she said, "My name is Shutu." And my mind transmitted her language saying, "I'm Shutu."
Shutu.
And I took a picture of this here, and I shared it with a couple of people. And I would like to share the photo that I took of her for you to look at it and give me some feedback.
I'd love to see it. Sure thing. So this apparition, what do you think they wanted?
I don't know. I think she's a protector of the property or something. She was just there. She was like hiding behind the tree. And as I videotaped her, she came out into full view. She had a wool suit on. You could see the image of her having a little skirt on.
You can actually see this in the picture?
Yes. You can see her breast. You can see her head. You can see the tribal head next to her. And everyone thought I was crazy when I told them this here. And that's when you was talking about your subject, my schizophrenia, I was telling everybody because I sent it on my phone to everybody and said, "What do you see?" And they said, "Well, I see something here." And I was telling everyone about it, what I had experienced.
All right. Do you have my email address so you can send it to me?
I believe it's George at Coast to Coast.
AM. Yeah, you gotta put the AM in there and send it to me. We'll look at it. I'll send it to Lex. By the way, I was talking about this in Philadelphia this weekend. If you're gonna send me a picture, send the picture. That lady called me a couple weeks ago and said she grows wings on her back. She said she was gonna send us a picture of that. I haven't gotten it yet. Send me the picture. So in your case, Velvet, send me the picture. We'll take a look at it. I'd love to see it. Let's go to Sid in Cincinnati, Ohio. Welcome to the program. Hi, Sid. First-time caller.
Yes, yes.
Hi.
I was thinking about the whole Stephenville UFO thing and for a bit, and I came up with an idea that maybe, nothing goes 19,000 miles an hour, right, like on radar. So that's what they tracked it at. So... what if it was a projection that could be registered on radar, and it was moving very quickly?
You mean like
would register
like
that way,
like a hologram projection or something?
Yeah. Like and even a projection that could be seen in daylight. You know,
there's that old saying that there's going to be this false flag with a UFO invasion. Who knows? We're going to be back. We're going to take more calls on Coast to Coast AM. Well, if you'd like to take a look at Al Capone's jail cell from 1929, just go up to coasttocoastam.com. It's on our Twitter feed. You can just take a look at that and follow it. It was a wretched little place. We'll be back in a moment with more open line calls on Coast to Coast AM. Let's go to Casey in Boise, Idaho, west of the Rockies, to get this segment going. Hi, Casey. Good morning.
Hey, George. How you doing?
Good. Thank you.
Good. Well, I really liked your guests tonight, and it kind of inspired me to call because I kind of consider myself a stumbling, self-taught shaman, just trying to learn from the world around me because I don't have any direct teachers. And I kind of wanted to just share with you and the listeners an experience I had that I consider maybe the initiation of my shamanism.
What happened? How did it happen?
All right, well, I was in a room, with some friends, and we were going to do a ceremony. There was some music on, and we got into the ceremony, and the music around me shattered, and then the entire room shattered. And I left my body and was kind of enwrapped in this praying mantis plant-like creature. And I went to this place that was like a void of all space and time. There's just this empty void of space. And I saw in front of me, the creature told me to look in front of me. Oh, yeah, I forgot to mention that before I embarked on this journey, they said to ask a question.
To the creature.
My question was, what are you? And it was kind of just to the universe or to the medicine or whatever, what are you?
What was the answer?
So, well, they told me to look at this screen type thing, and it was kind of a never-ending videotape or something that just kept rolling by my field of being there, and it had everything on it. It had these ancient Egyptian hieroglyphics. It had Chinese symbols. It had like all symbols and writing throughout time, and all human actions and forms of evolution.
Wars, everything. They were all in there?
Up to the current period, and then even beyond that, it went into these geometrical designs that I just couldn't understand. They were a complete contradiction to themselves. They just couldn't make sense. You know?
Did you look into the future, Casey?
It wasn't really an event that happened in the future. It was so fast and it was so overwhelming that I just couldn't make any sense of it. And during this experience, in this void of space, I broke down and I cried and I said I was sorry because I couldn't understand. I said, I don't understand what you're telling me. I feel like I should because I asked the question, but I don't understand. I'm sorry. Could you just tell me? And they said, okay, we'll tell you. What we are is everything, and that's what you are too, all of you.
That's pretty profound, no doubt. The creature, though, is a praying mantis. You know, some extraterrestrials have been described as looking like praying mantises. Floyd is in Gulfport, Mississippi. Hey, Floyd, good morning.
Hey, George. Let me just say, this show tonight from the beginning, your first and second guest, has been very powerful for me. Since today, I put my son back into a facility. He's got schizophrenia, developed it when he was 15. He's 22 now.
Oh, no. Okay.
And, but your show tonight, when I came home from putting him in this facility, I was very upset. I had this argument with my daughter. I relaxed. I got a breath, and I thought about what I was doing. I got my daughter, apologized. I said, everything's fine. Let's get back to, you know, our family love.
Sure.
And I turned on your show, and you're talking about schizophrenia, which my son at 15 flipped out. And he has been through every med there is. He got down to the very last two, and they said, if this doesn't work, he will be gone in an institute for the rest of his life. So I went through a lot of doctors. Finally got him on clozapine, which is a pretty powerful antipsychotic. Well, I have been toiling with getting him into an alternative program. Tonight's show really opened my eyes, and thank you.
Well, what will you do based on what you heard tonight?
Well, I've had problems with these meds from the beginning because he used to be very athletic, very trim. And he's obese now after 7 years of these meds. And I'll tell any parent out there, look at every option because these things are dangerous. I mean, they take 10 to 15 years off your life.
When you're with him, does he even know who you are, Floyd?
Yes. As a matter of fact, when it first happened at 15, he just turned to me one night watching TV and said, he said to me, okay, Dad, stop doing that. And I'm going, what?
Yes.
I don't know what you're talking about. And it went on from there, and I took him to his mom. I said, hey, watch him for a few days because he's really acting strange. Well, it come to make a long story short, he's been in and out of facilities for 7 years.
And the first thing you think of as a parent with your teenager is they're doing something, right? They're taking something.
You know, we thought it was maybe some major event happened in his life, or maybe his grandmother was pretty rough. Maybe she did some stuff that we weren't aware of. You know, I mean, I went through all the lies.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah. And you doubt everything at that time, right?
You do. You do. And you blame yourself.
Yeah.
Because you think you've done something, you know. But it's rough. It is.
It is rough. Well, I hope tonight's program helped you a little bit, Floyd, at least to help steer you in a direction you think you want to go. Let's go to Peter in Boise, Idaho. Hey, Peter, go ahead.
Hi, George. Honored to be on the show.
Gotcha. Go ahead.
I had an experience when I was in California, right before I moved back up to Idaho, that probably kind of helped me move back up here. But I was in my apartment, and it was at nighttime, and there's a narrow walkway in the backside of my apartment, and I felt a presence out there, and I thought it was a burglar. So I go to the back door, and I'm going to open the door real fast and yell and scare the burglar off.
Did you have a baseball bat in your hand by any chance?
No, I didn't have anything. I was just going to open the door and yell, you know. And when I got to the back door, the hair on the back of my neck stood up. And I'd never had that happen to me before. And I wasn't afraid or anything.
Right.
But my body was reacting like a scared cat.
It sensed something.
But I wasn't afraid.
Yeah.
And so I went ahead and I opened the door and I yelled, and there's nobody there. And then there's a sidewalk, and then there's a barbed wire fence, and then there's a field. Off in the field, I saw, you know, the movie Predator, the camouflage that Predator has.
That's right. Looks kind of like gel-like. That's right.
And, well, that's what I saw. I saw movement, like a reflective movement, but it was like 15 feet tall. And this scared the heck out of me. And the only weapon that I had was an axe. So I ran back to my bedroom. I grabbed my axe. I go back outside, step out the back door, and I'm swinging this axe and screaming at the same time. And this thing... It's still moving, but it's just like back and forth just a little bit, and I could tell it didn't make a sound, but I could just feel the evil off this thing, and I could tell it was laughing at me, and I'm thinking, oh my God, what am I going to do? I can't fight this thing. There's no way I can fight this thing. It's way too powerful.
No, and every time you swing the axe, it's like swinging through air, wasn't it?
Right. And so what I did was I just ran back to my bedroom, I threw myself on my bed, and I prayed to every god that I could think of. Because I knew this thing, if it was going to get me, it was going to eat my soul. You know, that's the way I felt.
Maybe that's what it wanted.
And so I prayed. As I prayed to Jesus. I prayed to Yahweh. I prayed to Buddha. I prayed to everyone. I didn't want to leave any of them out.
Just wanted to cover your bases, right?
I'm covering my bases. I'm saying, if this thing eats me, I want God to have my soul. I don't want this thing to have my soul. And so I'm going through this. And then all of a sudden, I hear what sounds like a nuclear explosion way off in the distance. And I could feel a rumble. Like a...
Huh.
And I hear this rumble. And then I'm thinking, oh, Jesus, L.A. got nuked. And so I'm laying there. And then I hear what sounds like a gunshot. Or a really loud popping sound, and then I hear what sounds like glass breaking in it, and I feel like my heart was pierced, and I'm thinking, that's it, I'm dead. And so I'm laying there, and I'm thinking, and I screamed, you know, here I come, you know, and I'm thinking I'm dead, and so I'm laying there, and I'm just laying there, and all of a sudden I take a breath, and I realize, wow, I'm not dead. And so I sit up, and I look around my room, and in the corners of the room is like blue electricity. It's like blue on the outside and white in the center. And it's like blue static electricity snaking up the corners of my room and across the ceiling, in the corner, and it was so intense I could even smell it. I could smell the ozone, and it was like I could hear it, you know,
crackling along. Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm looking at this, and then I immediately know that whatever the evil presence was is gone. And I'm just watching this blue electricity, and it lasts for like maybe 30 seconds, and it just finally just dissipates. And after that, you know, I just kind of wandered around in a daze for like 3 days, you know, just wondering what the heck happened.
Well, you're lucky, Peter, because this sounds like they were out to get your soul indeed, and you were smart enough to fight that off. Hey, Danielle in San Diego, what's new?
Hi, I'm Danielle.
Hi.
Kind of nervous. this is George, sorry.
Yes, it is.
Nice to meet you. I'm Danielle, and my mom, Dina, likes to listen to you a lot, too.
Well, tell mom hi for us.
She's the one that got me hooked on the show. Anyways, yeah, I was diagnosed as atypical bipolar.
Okay.
And
You sound okay to us now.
Yeah, I've been well for like 2 or 3 years now, but I battled with it for like 7 or 8 years, something like that, like heavy psychosis. And it turned out I also had like a hormonal imbalance. I had toxic levels of estrogen.
I would guess that would be the major problem.
I didn't have enough progesterone, but I also had a spiritual experience because when I was about 17 years old, I had a dream, and I remember being like an angel, and they were asking me to come down to Earth, and I really was dreading it. And I was like, I know I'm not going to enjoy my experience down there. And I was like, they're like, well, we really need you, and we really want you, will you please? And I said, only if I can be born in the sign Sagittarius. And so I went to the bookstore and to see if there was anything like that talks about like angels being human bodies, like mm-hmm. voluntarily. And there's this book called Earth Angels by Doreen Virtue. She's a PhD.
I know Doreen.
Oh, you do? Oh my gosh, yeah. I love her. I want to meet her. Like it's so hard to get in touch with her because she's so, you have to have like at least $500 to meet her, I think.
What?
Don't you? Don't you have to like go to one of her
I don't.
Like, how did you meet her though?
On the show.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
then,
so cool.
And then you could call her for free.
Oh yeah, that would be cool. Yeah. So anyways, like I bought this book also called How to Catch Fairies by Dilly Sergiev, GILLYSERGIEV.
How to Catch Fairies. What are you gonna do with them if you caught them?
I don't think I would catch them, but just how to attract them. And it gives like a history, and basically like the fairies have like sensitive egos, and they're angels, but they're not like angels. And like a lot of like scientists will ask for proof, but then if you're asking for proof, that's like a belief in and of itself. You're just believing that you absolutely do not believe in it. And so the fairies feel like, well, if you don't believe in our existence, then why should we even bother to, you know, let you know about us? And they want us to have an open mind. So the book had like this chant that you,
to summon them up, huh?
Yeah, basically, and it helps you get in tune. I think you're supposed to burn sandalwood, or it might be a different kind, but I think it's sandalwood.
Did you practice this?
Yeah, I did. And you're supposed to say Yoho Renko for like, I think that's what it is, for like 30 minutes, 20 or 30 minutes, and just let the images flow. And I remember I lived in Utah. Yoho Renko, I think it's what it's called.
What does that mean?
I don't know. It's something like probably Celtic or something like that. I don't know what it is, though. That's just what she said to say.
Did it work for you? Did they show up?
And it gets you into their realm. And I actually saw a fairy in my closet. And so I made the mistake, of course, of telling my mom, who knew I had mental illness. And she's like, oh, I think you're just imagining it. She's not really there, you know. And so I said, don't be sad. Don't go away. And, you know, and then the fairy did leave.
How big was he?
She was probably a little bit smaller than a Barbie doll.
Just kind of floating around in there.
She was like sitting there, and I could see her wings. She was turquoise, and she didn't have like a face. It was just kind of like a body with wings, like a feminine figure.
Yeah.
It was like a glowing turquoise. And then I've also heard fairies, like, I can, mostly in my mind, not so much out loud, but it sounds, I don't know how to explain it, it just sounds different, like clairvoyantly. You know what clairvoyant hearing is?
Yeah, well, like, one thing you should try is go to Google and type in Cottingley fairies and tell me if you think that picture is real or not. It looks weird, but a lot of people say there were cutouts because it was done a long, long time ago. Let's go to the Twin Cities in Minnesota. Bob's on the Skype line. Hey, Bob, go ahead.
Hey, how you doing? Can you hear me okay?
Good. Yeah, I sure can.
All right. So I just wanted to call, and, you know, I studied psychology in college and have been really active in all of that. And, you know a lot of psychiatrists and have seen it help people. I mean, it's not my thing at all. And I think there's an element to this that you know, it's important to point out that the water... Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
You know, I just think the water supply in this country is not being adequately regulated. You know, we passed, you know, the Clean Water Act bills and all this stuff, and our infrastructure is just not, you know, set up to deal with synthetic chemicals and pharmaceuticals and all that kind of stuff. And so...
Well, and there's no doubt. And they put this junk in water and stuff, Bob. They put in fluoride and stuff like that. But what do you mean by regulated?
You know, cleaned by the local municipalities and whatnot. And, you know, you'll hear guys talk about fluoride quite a bit, but fluoride's not you know, really there's a big picture to that I think when you focus on just fluoride alone, you're not quite seeing the big picture, you know, and we have to understand that, you know, the government is putting fluoride in the water, and that's terrible. It should have never happened. But the government is also going to be responsible for cleaning this water, you know? And it's, you know, it was in the 70s when a lot of these, you know, infrastructure was built, you know, and it's time that...
Let me tell you, Bob, we constantly do special segments on things like that, and fluoride and water, that's one. But you're right, it's a much bigger picture. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudasur, Stephanie Smith, George Knapp, John B. Wells, Ian Puttett, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.